start thinking about what can you and I and you do together, like the three of us, in terms of co-marketing. Maybe we bundle the solutions together and go to our customers, our joint customers together. And that's a very powerful message.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
2 months ago, a VC asked me if I'd come in and present to a bunch of entrepreneurs and business owners. And I said, sure, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, whatever you want. It's partner-based. They'll make it partner-oriented. And I said, okay. And I said, how long do I have? He said, take as long as you want. And I said, well, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I could talk for hours and bore the shit out of them. So maybe what I'll do is just focus on the last seven. And so we had a good conversation. And actually, it resonated pretty well. I iterated, and we're going to talk a little bit about last 7 years at FreshBooks. And just to give you a little background, I spent 17 years at Microsoft in the partner world. I was the partner director in Canada in the last X number of years. And then I left there after taking a bit of a break and worked with SaaS companies, this is the fourth one, to build a partner strategy at these companies. And so the plan was 2 to 3 years, build a strategy, move on to the next company. And that worked for the first few. And then now I'm going on year eight at FreshBooks, so I haven't figured out the exit strategy yet. But it must be going pretty well. The other thing, as I get into this, people don't want to hear just about successes. So I'm going to talk a little about failures and successes, and I'm going to use a baseball analogy to present this. So most people here can relate to baseball. I find a lot of business development and the partner work that we do has a lot to do with baseball. It has a lot of resonance, and I'll explain. And because what you're doing is you're standing up at the plate and you're swinging at the balls. Sometimes you're going to strike out, and sometimes you're going to hit a foul ball. Sometimes you're going to actually let the ball go by because it's not a good pitch. Sometimes you're going to hit singles and doubles. And once in a while, you're going to hit home runs. But you're not going to hit home runs all the time. So as long as your batting average is okay, you're going to be all right. And so you'll see in this timeline that there's a bit of everything going on that's gone on in the last 7 years. And hopefully there are like one or two things that you can take out of this that make sense to you. And you go, hey, that makes sense. Maybe it's something that I can take back. Okay, first lesson learned, and probably the biggest one, was getting buy-in on your strategy. And by buy-in, I mean at the executive. So is your CEO, founder, your boss, if they're the same, are they bought into what you're doing? Because before I came to FreshBooks, I was at another SaaS company. And the CEO, I knew him, and he brought me in. But he wasn't my boss. My boss was the COO, and he was not bought in. He's just like, why are we doing this? I'm an old school sales guy. It's all about relationships and selling. You don't need partnerships. But I was thrust onto him, and he resented it. And so he never really bought into the strategy, and he made life really difficult. Although we had a lot of success there, I feel like it was a strikeout on my end, because I ended up leaving and I came over to FreshBooks. I didn't have the support. So when I came to FreshBooks, my last interview or conversation was with Mike, the founder, and Gerv, my boss, who's the CCO. And I actually asked them, what are your expectations here? What do you want to accomplish? And they had some partner work that had been done over the years. And Sunir, who I don't know if he's here or not, had done some great work along with a few other people at FreshBooks. But I was being brought in as the first BD-focused person. And I wasn't going to waste my time again. I spent almost 2 years at the last place banging my head against the wall. I wasn't going to do it again. One lesson learned, make sure you've got buy-in from the executive above you because it can make life easier or hell for you. In this case, I asked them, like, what are your expectations? I liked the answers they gave me. It seemed to be aligned. And for the most part, you're going to be aligned, but you're not always going to be aligned anyways. And we're not. And you'll see in this little journey, there's some foul balls that have happened here. But that's number one. Then about 6 months in or so, I was taking a look at the partner landscape that we had there. And one of the things that I realized is that, so FreshBooks, just a quick one on who we are, Canadian-based company out of Toronto. We're in 120 countries around the world. We have 30 million users around the world. QuickBooks, everyone knows QuickBooks. Many of you probably know Xero. I hope a good number of FreshBooks as well. We're pretty big. But we target the really small micro businesses and small businesses, and we target directly the business owners. Like QuickBooks does it all, but they primarily go through accountants to the users. We're doing that as well, but our primary focus is like, how do we make your life easier? It's got to be an easier to use product. That's the genesis, and free unlimited support. We make it really easy for you. So with that in mind, how do we build a partner strategy that's similar? So the first thing I noticed, we had 18 payment partners. So we're an invoicing platform, right? So you can add, get paid digitally on your invoice. We had 18 payment partners, which gives you zero leverage in the BD world when you're trying to actually negotiate a contract, when you're trying to make money, a rev share with them, when you're trying to influence the product roadmap to give them what you want, zero leverage. And none of them are happy because no one's making money off of you either because they're spread thin. So first thing that I did, I said, we got to cut this down. And so we actually cut them all out except for two. And then we add to WePay and Stripe. And then we re-added PayPal back in because there was a good demand for PayPal. Now we had a bit of leverage and they were happy. Now we could focus on, okay, how do we go deeper with you? So the reward came in a little bit later was when contract renewals came up, we were able to pit them against each other, Stripe and WePay, pit them against each other because the strategy that I've come to embrace and believe is a good one is you can't go too thin or too wide or too thin. You can't just go with one because then you've got no fallback plan. If the partnership goes sour or they get bought out or something happens, you really shouldn't have more than three either because then you're spread thin. In some cases, you're going to have one. In some cases, you're going to have lots. But generally, two to three is a sweet number to have in terms of strategic partnerships. And so in this case, we had two. We hadn't brought PayPal back in yet. And we're saying, okay, one has to be the lead solution, and the other has to be a good best-of-breed alternative solution. And so WePay was the one that we went first with. And Stripe, we gave them the international business and other things. So they were happy too. But everyone wants to be the lead dog. Nobody wants to be the number two or number three person, right? So then you work with them to strive to unseat the champ, but you got to knock the champ out. You got to earn the business. You can't just get it. And so that's a really good position to be in. Now you've got leverage. So when we did the contract renewals, our rev shares significantly increased. The roadmap, we had significant impact on the roadmap. And so it met our growth needs. So that was a win. And that, I would call that at the time be a double, which turned into a home run in the baseball analogy, because over the years, that's grown to about half of our revenue, this partnership side. Sometimes you get lucky. So sometimes the pitcher throws a slider right up the middle, super easy to hit, and you can hit the ball a mile, right? In the case of WePay, when we were negotiating with them, we knew they were getting bought. Like they told us, we're looking to get acquired. And that caused a lot of consternation because we didn't know what that meant, right? And Stripe was coming with pretty aggressive offers, proposals. So we had to make a call. And the call was, as I said earlier, we took a risk with WePay, but we put in the contract some stipulations. So if you're doing a longer-term partnership with someone, make sure you're thinking of the scenarios that could go wrong. And sometimes you can actually build them into the contract yourself. Example, with WePay, we said, okay, if you get bought by a competitor or you get bought by someone that doesn't support the roadmap that we've agreed on that's in the contract, we could terminate without cause. That's what we put in, just to hedge our bets a little bit, right? We didn't know who was going to buy them. What ended up happening was Chase Bank bought them. Ching, that was awesome. So Chase Bank then finds out about FreshBooks. Who's this FreshBooks company? Hey, they're pretty cool. And then we take the whole team, put the whole team on it, and now you've actually got a bigger opportunity in front of you. And sometimes you just can't plan for these things. They just happen. But when they do happen, make sure you're ready to take advantage of it. So we brought the whole team forward, pitched like, here's who FreshBooks is. How do we partner with you? And so we set up distribution through Chase Bank. So you can get FreshBooks through Chase Bank. We set up product roadmaps that embed into their banking solutions that we continue to work on to this day. And they've given us several thousand customers that have come through FreshBooks just through that one channel. And we've driven billions of dollars of TPV, payments, money, through the rails. But sometimes you can't plan for these things. Those are really sweet and sunny and happy. Let's talk about some harder things. Reselling. I'm really interested in reselling. So coming from the Microsoft world where everything's a reseller, I said to our CEO, I think, you know what, we got to expand beyond just our self-service marketing and our little sales team. And we get to take a look at being available everywhere. And he's like, I don't know if I buy that. And that's old school. I said, I don't think it's old school. I think it's new school. Again, like SaaS companies are spreading themselves, their channels where you can find them. And so I didn't really get full buy-in. I got a half buy-in. He's like, all right, go try it out. Here's a little bit of resource. Here's an MVP. We're not going to fully build out a billing engine, but go try it out. And we did. We talked to a number of companies who were interested, like T-Mobile, Verizon, Comcast, Rogers in Canada, Bank of Montreal, a bunch of others. And what I found was unless both of you have your teams aligned, you're going to waste a lot of time, money, and cycles, which I did, we did. We hit a couple of singles, but we hit a lot of foul balls and I'd say strikeouts at this stage. I'll give you one example, like Samsung, they wanted us in this small business marketplace that they were building for their devices. We were on every device. Awesome, and they're going to promote a very curated list of apps. Sounds great, we're in. But they didn't do a good job at their end, the end user experience. So people were putting us into their shopping cart and then they'd have to actually go and set up their payment and do more work and then come back to the shopping cart to actually buy it. It failed at that stage. So that didn't work. So that's a foul ball. I'll explain why it's just a foul ball. app ecosystem is the other area where it's tough. And I know if people have talked a little bit about integrations, app stores, developers a little bit. This is about the developers. So we've gone from, I don't know, we had about 30-ish integrations. We've grown that to 130 today. And I'll explain that in the next slide. But the one area where I don't feel like we've hit a home run, or even a single, to be honest, maybe a single, is the developer community. And that's a whole lot of work to be done there. And that's a whole topic, another presentation. I know there are other people I've been talking about as well. But from our side, FreshBooks, I don't think we've nailed this one just yet. And I'll explain why in a second. Part two. So sometimes things work for you, and everyone here has a slightly different business. We're not all the same. This is not a cookie cutter model, by the way. I don't have the sheet that Sunir has that I'm going to put in your little bags, because it's always different. Hopefully, you all have something that works for you. And take a look at, like, how can I replicate this? So, you know, I've got a good swing. I'm hitting baseballs with my swing. I got to replicate the swing. The analogy. Example given here. Hey, that payments thing that I talked about on slide one, that worked pretty well. Those two, about three partners. And by the way, we've done that globally. We've expanded. We added Barclay Card, and we've got others globally. That works pretty well. How do we expand that, replicate that beyond just being a one-trick pony on payments? Look at complementary solutions for your business. And I know all of you have certain integrations or partnerships that are complementary and extend what you do. There's a model that's like this four quadrant from the Microsoft days, where you just evaluate how many customers does this actually reach, like how much collaboration can we get together, and how much money can we make off of this? And in the upper right quadrant, if you get partnerships you think have the ability to get ourselves together into that upper right quadrant, invest in them and replicate. So example, with FreshBooks, payroll. We don't build payroll, but we've got a really good partnership in the US with Gusto, good company here in San Francisco. We have a good lending solution with Fundbox, another San Francisco company. And we have a good bookkeeping service partnership with Bench, a company out of Vancouver that services the US. They're working great. We're making good money off of them and vice versa. So how do you replicate that? So we've added a bookkeeping service in the UK, same approach, same model. All the lessons that we learned from a few years of building with Bench, we just replicated. And you know what? We did it in about six to eight months. Our sales team were up and running. We had all the back end figured out, support, all those. So it was pretty quick to build. In the US, hey, Gusto's a great payroll company. Let's add a second one and maybe a third one, right? Because all our eggs in that one basket. So we added Sure Payroll, and we are looking at potentially adding a third one. But not too many, right? Because you have to have value for these companies. If they're going to invest in you, you got to provide value back. So expand inland lending as well. We only had that one partner. So let's add one that can, a second one in the US, one in Canada, one in the UK. And that's what we're doing right now. And then there are other categories that are in that quadrant. They're down in the bottom right, or maybe closer to the middle. But there is potential to grow those categories by adding a couple other partners and going deeper. And so that'll be the next kind of stage. Insurance is probably a good example for us, right? Sometimes, doesn't matter how good you are in the BD world, your CEO is not going to listen to you. He's going to listen to someone else. It's kind of like your kids. My kids don't listen, and then they come home one day and like, oh yeah, your broccoli is really yummy. Yeah, broccoli. I told you broccoli was good 2 years ago. You had it at your friend's house and you liked it. Same with our CEO, Mike. So Mike's like, APIs, they're okay. Only when you need them and very curated. So no, Mike, you got to have a broader platform here. We'll have an ecosystem of hundreds of apps, and we're going to treat them really well, and it'll be great. And Mike's like, no. And then one day around Q1 2020, he comes and he's like, APIs, that's the way to go. We are going to be a platform company. And he went on about APIs. And I said, what the hell happened? And he said, you know what, George, you know, I've been talking to other people. He's been talking to other CEOs who've said, this is the growth we've had. And the light bulb went on. He's like, yeah, that makes sense. So sometimes you can't hit the ball yourself. You got to have someone else throw up the pitch for you. And that's what happens here. There's nothing, I can't say, go do this. It just happens sometimes. And that's what happened here. In 2020, COVID hit, and we all were affected by this. And I said, well, the sky is falling, or is it? I know all of us went through this similar type of scenario. No one had a clue what was going to happen in March of 2020, right? Everything shut down. We were living in an apocalypse. It was crazy if you think about it. What was going on back then? Peaceful, though. I look back, I kind of am fond of that time, to be honest. But at the same time, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, how many people were scared, I don't know what's going to happen with my business, the business I'm in, when COVID hit? If your hand's not up, you're lying. We're all scared. What happened at FreshBooks, we batten down the hatches. We don't know what's happening. We could have business in a few months, don't know. March, revenue tanked. So we stopped hiring, stopped all expenses. Didn't let anybody go, but we just froze everything because we didn't know. April was eh. May was a record month. So was June, so was July, so was August. We're like, what the hell is happening here? What happened is that you need to understand your positioning in the market when certain things happen. Like COVID in this example, what are we? We're good for solopreneurs starting up a business. Hey, I need cloud accounting. It's really simple for me. Or I need to just start to invoice because I'm doing my own consulting gig. Or I'm a small business and I really need to batten down the hatch in terms of like my process has to be a bit better. So I'm going to use a proper accounting now. Or in the case of COVID, I can't go door to door. I can't go and collect my money. I'm a landscaper. I can't actually go to their door. So I better enable digital payments. So that's why these things took off. So the lesson here is understand the situation and adapt really quickly. So if you got a new pitcher throwing new pitches at you, adjust your swing. What I talked about earlier, if you've got a good partnership, like really invest in it because it could turn into a home run. One of the reasons for doing that is that it can actually help attract another big fish. So in our case, Chase went really well. Like it was great for us, great for our credibility. Barclays Bank got wind of it because an executive left from Chase and went to Barclays in the UK to set up their business. And he said, there's no partnering here. You guys aren't innovative. You're not agile. We're not competitive with new bank models. We got to be more partner friendly. And by the way, like FreshBooks is like one really good example that I know a bit of from my Chase days. And they opened the door for us at Barclays. So we brought the whole team in and we had a good conversation with them. We incorporated their digital payment solution, which became the third solution in the UK. They incorporated us and sell it to their small business customers in the UK. Big win. Now, there's still a lot of learning. I mean, we're 1 year in the market with them. Thousands of customers in just the first year, which is really good. But there are growing pains here as well. But generally, a really good thing. And that's opened us up to Canadian banks, Royal Bank, Bank of Montreal, TD Bank, National, CIBC, Scotia. We've met with them all. And they all want from you, but they don't give you anything. Write to our API so you can sync up with our expenses so we can show customers data inside our banking portal. Well, what do we get out of it? You get to be one of our partners. There's no value to us to do that, right? But they're quite interested. What are you doing with Chase Bank and Barclays Bank? Let's talk. It's interesting. Sue from 8x8 this morning, I think, used the term. She stole the term from me. I trademarked 1 + 1 = 3, by the way. No, I didn't. Everyone says it. But what's the point of this? If you've got an ecosystem, and some of you have ecosystems and partner strategies that are more evolved, and some of you are just starting out, I forgot to ask you that question at the beginning. But I'm going to assume some have mature systems and some have newer systems. You're going to start to understand who are the like-minded partners that actually partnering outside of you as well. Right? And they're complementary to each other. And instead of looking at one and one, like what can you and I do together from co-marketing and integration, start thinking about what can you and I and you do together, like the three of us, in terms of co-marketing. Maybe we bundle the solutions together and go to our customers, our joint customers together. And that's a very powerful message. And I know that from the Microsoft days because the way people competed with Microsoft was they would try and bundle together and go, yeah, you can go and buy whatever, SharePoint, or you can get these solutions that are bundled together. And for FreshBooks, we've got QuickBooks that is the Goliath in our industry. We can't go head-to-head on their Super Bowl commercials, but what we can do is we can go to the customer base and say, easy to use, get best of breed payroll, best of breed bookkeeping, best of breed lending. They're all integrated together. That's what we're starting to get better at doing. That takes us to today. What's next? Here are a couple of thoughts on opportunities and threats, and you're probably thinking the same thing on some of these. On the opportunity side, like I said earlier, have not figured out reselling. Does it work? I don't know if it works. Honestly, I'm not sold. I think there's a great opportunity. When we're talking to app marketplaces and the telcos, they seem to think it's powerful, but they've only been able to sell Microsoft Office, really, and a few other tools. And then they tell us cloud accounting is like the next thing. Okay, we'll be there when they're ready to do it, but I haven't seen it executed just yet. And so we're going to, again, be very careful on how you move forward because you can waste a lot of time, which was the message I gave you earlier. Same with the developers. The developers, it's just a matter of swinging at the right pitch. We've not invested. So people have talked about developers and recruiting to build right on your API. You better figure out the value proposition before you start to invest money on doing this. Because they've got to make money off this too. They're not just going to go right to your integration and build an app or an integration between apps. We were talking about this earlier, right? Here's a developer here. We were just talking before I came in, and he was saying, hey, we can build integrations. And I said, one of the problems that we have is that if you take FreshBooks, a fairly big company, and another company like, I don't know, like HubSpot, although we have an integration, but HubSpot, Squarespace, it's another big company. We want to integrate. It's a Mexican standoff. Nobody wants to do the work. So why don't you come to our partner program? We'll give you value. No, would you come to our partner program? And so you're not going to get that integration done unless you agree on working with a third-party developer. And the only way the third-party developer is going to do it is if you incent them to do it. And there's a couple of ways to do it. One, we pay you money to do it, and then we pay you a rev share to maintain it, which is something we've done with a few of our developers today. We paid them to build it because, I'll give you an example, Microsoft Outlook, Gmail, and now we're just building Google Calendar right now, which should be out next month. They're not building it, right? We got to build it. So we incented a really good developer to build it and maintain it by giving them a rev share. So it's like a referral. For every OAuth connection that we have, a customer using it, we're paying them X dollars for it, and we're capping it. Because I have seen some very popular integrations at Freshbooks that would cost us way too much money. So we cap it. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to build e-commerce into your app store. So one of the things when the CEO light bulb went on was he's like, give them resources. We've got an API team, we've built app store. So we went from like a directory listing on the website to an actual app store, which people, or developers and apps can submit through self-service. And it gives us the ability to build in the future ratings and reviews, e-commerce, like a shopping cart, which we don't have yet today. But once you get a shopping cart in there, then a developer like this can build an app and we'll take care of the e-commerce and just they get the money for it. Maybe we'll take a cut, I don't know, but they get the money for it. Then they're incented. But until you got an incentive in place, it's going to be hard to get developers right for you. And then I've talked to these other communities are like another area. How do you continue to expand? I talked about resellers. For us, they're developers, but there's all that accountant channel. We're trying to figure out, okay, accountant channel, QuickBooks spends millions of dollars on that channel. It's and sort of zero. FreshBooks, not so much. But we are investing in it because we found as we grow up and we've got what we call scalers, the bigger small businesses, as you go up, and I think you had presented very small, I don't know if you folks were in that presentation, very small, medium organizations, what they look for. I thought that was a good slide, by the way. They're influenced by things like accountants. That was up on the slide. That was like number three, I think, on his list. So we've got to overcome that. So our strategy here is going to be to neutralize them. So they say, yeah, FreshBooks is really good if you want to use that. Threats. Is there a recession going on right now? Some people think there is. Some people say there isn't. I don't know. But there are SaaS cuts going on around the industry. So we got cut. Last month, we just finished the biggest quarter in our business's history. And we let go 10% of our staff at the same time. Bad timing. But why did we do it? You're seeing it every day. You hear it, right? Someone's cutting. I just saw a big one again today. Because the board of directors or the shareholders, investors, are a little tired of just the revenue without the profit and want profitability. So that pendulum, right? The pendulum's now swung over to profitability. It's great that you're growing revenue, but it's about profitability. And so for us, the pressure was cut costs, get to profitability, IPO, and all those wonderful things that come with it. So how does that affect? I lost some good people. And so do you continue to manage that? The App Store is one good example. Adding e-commerce, shopping cart was on the roadmap. That's off the roadmap for now. Some of that team got cut. And then the last point, as you grow, and again, some of you are larger organizations, larger partner organizations, what I find, and I'm finding it right now, FreshBooks has grown. We're about 800 employees around the world, with offices around the world. And BizDev partnerships is core to a lot of what we do. And that's great. That's kudos to the team that have done that. One of the challenges is that everyone wants like a piece of it. And they'll come in and, hey, you know, the product organization should actually be running the what partners we deal with as we expand payroll, let's say. Or the sales team will say, hey, those BD people, maybe they should be in sales and they should be working closer with the salespeople. And the finance team will say, hey, you know, I think we need a report. And so what you find is you're starting to get more cooks in the kitchen. So what you've got to do to combat that is be really crystal clear on what your mission is, what you're doing, and what success looks like in that room looks like. And make sure that your CEO and executives continue to be aligned. In our case, we have alignment, at least today we do. We have alignment, it's gotta be driven by BD, and those other groups have to be coordinated with the efforts. So you just get better at coordinating as you get bigger. I think that's it. Last comment, it's all different, it's not a template. So look at what your opportunities and threats are and act accordingly. Okay, any questions? So the question is, when you're selecting a partner, do you pick the biggest, best one out there? Or are there other criteria? Other criteria is a quick answer. Because the biggest isn't necessarily the best. They may be really difficult to work with. They may not be agile. Their leadership team may not sync with your leadership team. And you may have another company that's a bit smaller, still good, agile, and their values and their strategies align with you better. And so they're the better pick. Easy answer. Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate your time.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe, and join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.